Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Are you all in? I mean, like, all or nothing when it comes to your New Year's resolutions. No room for failure, no reprieve, no room for errors. And if that's your mentality, you might run into some roadblocks that will have you heading in the wrong direction or off the map completely. Somewhere in there, there needs to be a gray zone. And wellness consultant, coach, trainer, speaker, author, and mental health advocate Lydia DeFrancesco has this zone very well planned out, with room for a few miscues and a few missteps. Lydia and I go way back to the CTV Morning Live days when she often made her way to the set with ideas and concepts that allowed people to be creative at home. Not everyone has the luxury to afford a gym membership, personal trainers, nutritionists, and the list goes on in your looking and needing for help in the health and wellness and being able to meet your goals. But I promise you, on this podcast, we are trying to get you covered as much as possible, providing you with steps and guidelines and suggestions on how you can achieve the life you want and do so with what's actually in front of you. From mindset to food, exercise to daily practice, this hour will have it all. So welcome to Living Your Life with Leanne Lang, the podcast brought to you by Extension Marketing. And of course, as always, for more information, you can head to extensionmarketing.com. Lydia, I thought you'd be the perfect guest for the start, the launch of the new year.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on your show.
I am too, as I was putting my computer down. So, and I got gifts. Like, you brought gifts when you came in. One of them is your gratitude and success journal, which I know, like, right off the bat, this has been like the game changer for you and how you kind of have evolved over the last little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started this journaling concept about 6 months, actually probably more than 6 months ago now, maybe 8 months ago. And I never really, I don't feel like I'm a good journaler, and I'm not a good writer, or like, not a good writer. That's a lie, because I know I am a good writer. Yeah. It's a belief that I've had for a long time that I wasn't a good writer. Anyway, but I never felt that I could just sit down in front of a piece of paper and write. So I created this journal for myself where I have these prompts. And so it actually helps me to stay focused in my writing. And it's been really incredible to see just my own personal transformation in doing this journaling. And it involves four key aspects. One is gratitude. The other is affirmations and intention setting. The other is celebrating a win. And the other one is focusing on self-care. And so each day then I write things related to those different aspects.
Yeah. I'm going to get into the journal in much more deep, in a deeper, okay. You know, yeah, absolutely. Super. Because yeah. I think there's so much that I want to be able to hit on. And I think what people are looking for right now as we're heading into the new year often, and I've joked about this a lot, but we are making the same resolutions year after year, it seems, a little bit more of a groundhog day for others. My last guest that I just had on last week, Eliza Kingsford, she was talking about weight loss, but yeah. Coming from kind of the brain's perspective and how we are completely living in the habitual world, right? And unless we're breaking some of those habits, we're going to just keep repeating everything. But people are looking for it. And do you find with your clients that it's more they're looking on the exercise side or on the nutrition side or just on getting out of a rut or being in a depression? And like, where do you find the questions start coming at you from?
I think a lot of it is people don't even know where to start. They feel like a lot of it's exercise. I mean, people know they're not exercising enough, but they're not really sure what else they can do. And what I've seen over the last number of years, actually, it's really troubling, is like almost an epidemic of stress and overwhelm. And people just feel like they have too much on their plates to take care of themselves. Like they're either, it's somebody that's either taking care of younger children or taking care of older parents, or they have a job that is a lot of work, like more than your 40-hour work week. And maybe they have kids with activities. There's just so, I mean, you live it, I'm sure, with your life and your kids and people that you talk to and your friends. There's just so much stress and overwhelm. People don't know, like, how they can even fit things in or what to do.
That becomes almost overwhelming. Yeah. And then it's an overwhelm, and then there's an anxiety and a stress, and then mm-hmm. sometimes that you're just paralyzed.
Yep.
You're almost paralyzed absolutely. That you do absolutely nothing.
Yes, it is. It's that. It's that they don't know where to start, and it feels overwhelming. People know they need to change many aspects of their life, but because of that, it feels overwhelming, and then they just don't do anything.
Has it been easy for you? Like, has your life been very active childhood, easy food, you know,
for the
that you
most,
have the passion that you do for yeah. the work you're doing?
So for the most part, yes. I grew up in a family where, like, fruits and vegetables was the norm. We didn't even get, like, chocolate or that sort of thing on Easter and Halloween. Like, we didn't do Halloween, so we didn't really get those kinds of things.
What was the idea behind no Halloween?
Oh, yeah, we just it was like a more religious thing,
okay,
I guess. So we didn't, yeah, we just didn't do it so much. And Easter, my mom, I maybe gave us like two pieces of like little eggs or whatever. But they all part of that honestly was, I think, the health side of things. My mom was really like ahead of the curve on the health front without even really realizing it. Mm-hmm. Like, she made basically like what we would call power balls, power protein balls today. She made them like 30 plus years ago.
She was well ahead of
She the, was she way well ahead too ahead time. Almost, right? That it was like too over, ahead of the curve. But anyway, so I grew up in that kind of household where healthy eating was the norm. We lived in a town, so I walked everywhere. And so exercise and daily movement was just really part of my life. I walked to school for high school and all that kind of stuff. And then when I went to university, I still maintained a pretty good fitness regime and playing intramural sports and that sort of thing. I would say the biggest challenge for me was once I entered the workforce and got really busy with work, I found that exercise was a good stress release for me and was really necessary to keep up good mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a couple burnouts in the last number of years, and exercise definitely has helped with that in a certain sense, but also allow me to realize that I need to also focus a little more on overall self-care and making sure that I'm taking time to do things that recharge me as well.
So I'm going to ask you a question, because then you've got listeners going, okay, so how does like someone in the wellness world have yeah. burnouts, right? So where were you catching yourself that you realized you were in this burnout mode?
The biggest indicator for me is that I feel like I lost my voice. That's the best way to explain it. I put out a lot of content all the time. I'm constantly sharing things on social media and with my mailing list and all that kind of stuff. And when I start to feel like I don't have anything to say, it's a big flag for me that I'm feeling burnt out. And part of it was, the first one especially, was that I was giving a lot of my own self to my clients and to the public. And I really wasn't taking any time for me to recharge. I hadn't learned the ways for me to recharge, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause not everyone recharges in the same way. And so I needed to figure that out and to spend some time I slept a lot. I napped every day for the longest time. I totally believe in naps, by the way, just generally speaking. But yeah, it wasn't quite a burnout in the, like, in an emotional sense. It was more a physical. I was just really tired.
But wouldn't you see that with almost all of your clients or a lot of them?
Yeah,
that
a number of clients are pretty close to burnout, for sure. Yeah.
What would you characterize burnout then as?
So lots of fatigue, maybe trouble sleeping or like trouble waking up. Like, you wake up tired.
Mm-hmm.
I was waking up tired a lot, even if I would sleep 8 hours. I would say general disinterest in things that used to make you happy. It's like perhaps similar to depression, and I've been in a depression before, and especially with like seasonal affective disorder, mm-hmm. that affects me. I use a blue light now, which I find helps. It's not quite the same as depression, but it would have similar characteristics in terms of like lethargy and lack of interest in doing things that are fun. But I think it might be different for different people.
Right. Is it almost that though you can turn it around a little bit faster than maybe someone who's in depression
mm-hmm.
or in a depression? Sure. Right. It's like once you kind of change a couple of things, the burnout, like the energy comes back, the things that
depends how far you've let it go.
Okay.
If you let it go too far, then it can take months or even over a year plus.
So how does someone who's feeling burnt out right now, right? Yeah. They've just gone through the holidays. They've just gone through everything. And there was family and there was meals and there was everything that was going on. And now they're back to work and they're trying to have this mindset that's, you know, I can do this. I can live this healthier lifestyle. But they're heading into it almost in a burnt out state.
I think the key thing, what I would recommend to that person is figure out what the, like, kind of the most bang for your buck concept would be. Like, what is the one thing that you can be doing that is going to make you feel the best? So most likely it's probably sleep and getting sleep in order, and then possibly nutrition and really like water drinking, making sure that you're fueling yourself with nutritious food. And then I would say adding in the exercise. I've talked to so many people who are not getting enough sleep and they don't even realize that the effect that that's having on their bodies and their mind. I know for me personally, if I don't have a good sleep, I actually just am mentally not as well the next day. Like, I'm kind of, things are harder. Mm-hmm. It's harder to think. I'm not necessarily as positive. I've learned if I really have, I'm feeling tired, I don't make any major decisions that day. Because it really can affect your judgment. That's pretty
good, right? You know, for someone to be self-aware enough that they're not in a state to actually make big decisions. Because I think sometimes people do make those big decisions not in the state that they should have been to make them in the first place.
Absolutely.
So how I want to kind of go through this, because I want people, I want to go through this gray zone mindset. Because that is pretty much what you've really launched into. I know you did the HR Disrupt. You know, it was part of the speaking that you're doing. And then from there, kind of take some of those ideas and then apply it to how people can then attack the physical, the moving, the exercise, then the nutrition, and then the mindset. And I think let's break it down that way. So I listened to it. I actually pressed play and listened to the talk that you that you did. So when I ask you, like, what exactly, start from, you titled it the gray zone mindset. What do you see that as?
So for me, it's basically like how you said at the beginning of the podcast today, bucking that trend of all or nothing. What I realized over the last number of years in my practice and in working with people and just talking with general in general with people is that people get stuck in the cycle of all or nothing. So, and we see this now at this time of year in January, where people are going all in on, you know, whether it's fitness, whether it's nutrition. Usually those are the two big ones in terms of wellness, where they're like, I'm going to hit the gym 6 days a week and I'm going to eat perfectly. And that's great, but it's not realistic. And so what happens is then they start to fail. And then, you know, they start to say, well, I messed up yesterday, so today's a write-off as well. That's the typical, I'll start again Monday. That's a very common phrase that people say, right? And what I found was, for me, in looking at my life and how I maintain, you know, the same body weight year after year, like, I could post photos from 2 years ago and you would never know because I look the same. What it was consistency. Choosing consistency over perfection and really living in that gray zone area where it's not black and white. It's all not all or nothing.
I like the example that you were talking about, you know, it's the office party or someone's birthday at the office and someone brings in cake. You know, the all or nothing mentality is I can't have any, I'm going to deprive myself, you know, of getting in on the celebrations, or it's the I'm going to have it. And then you get upset with yourself and then you ate the cake and then you start to think negatively. Oh, right. I messed up. This wasn't what I should have been doing, and and on we go.
And the mentality, so it's either the deprivation, and deprivation, you can't do it forever, right? So if you can deprive, eventually you will cave. 100%, no one can deprive forever, and then you'll binge. And then you'll be mad at yourself, guilty, and then that's where you say, well, I'm never going to eat that again. And then, so then you don't for a while, and then you binge again. That cycle. Or, like you were saying, you do eat the cake, but you feel guilty after. And then, you know, let's say it was at, you know, during the day, right, at work. And then at dinner time, you know, you're kind of, you have that screw it mentality where you're like, well, I already ate the cake today, so today's a write-off. I'll be better tomorrow. But in my philosophy and with the gray zone mindset, it doesn't work that way. It's like you had the cake. It maybe was good. It maybe wasn't. It doesn't matter. And you're just going to eat the same way you always do, which in the ideal scenario, you're eating your healthy habit, you know, eating the way you eat on a regular basis, which is healthy food.
Okay, so having the cake at lunch doesn't mean, okay, let's just stop and I'll dinner's a write-off
too,
because I'm going to start again tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
It's okay, you had that.
Yeah.
Let's go at dinner
yeah.
and get back on track.
Exactly. It's just you ate the cake. That's great. Good for you. And now we just go back to regular. And regular, ideally, right, is the healthy eating.
Do you find it more with the eating, or is it that you were, you know, you planned on getting to the gym 4 days a week and you couldn't get there because there was an appointment? It's like, oh, yeah. You know what? I can't get there. So tomorrow, let's start again on Monday.
Right.
Is it happen as much with the physical
it's
side?
It's both. Yeah. Yeah. It's both. Because the same with exercise, right? Where let's say it's a Thursday and you miss the Thursday, then you might then say the start again Monday. So then you miss the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's three opportunities that you could have had. Like, there's nothing magical about Mondays, right? And so, but people seem to have this sort of Monday thing, right? Or like beginning of the month, or people also often, it's sort of related, but are waiting for that perfect moment to start something. And the perfect moment is never going to happen, unfortunately, right? Life isn't perfect and there is never a perfect time. To me, the funniest is when people are like, yeah, I'm going to do that when things slow down.
Yeah.
Right? No, that's dreaming as far as I'm concerned, because things, quote unquote, are never going to slow down. Life is never going to necessarily be less busy unless you really stop all the things that you're committed to. And so it's about, as I said to a friend of mine years ago, it's learning to live in your reality. And accepting that your current situation is your current reality, and how can you basically make the best of it? How can you find ways to be more healthy within your current situation?
So what if someone is working a crazy amount of hours, is running around, you know, chasing kids or dealing with the sandwich generation, has the younger kids, has the older parents, you know, demanding boss, like mm-hmm. where in their current reality mm-hmm. are they finding the time so that A, they're avoiding the burnout mm-hmm. or they're feeling better about themselves or they're trying to live up to the promise that they made that they're going to find even time for themselves to take care
right.
of things.
So usually something has to give and there has to be some kind of sacrifice. So whether it means waking up 15 minutes earlier to have some alone time, to do that journaling, to get a short 10-minute, 15-minute workout in, or whether it means start saying no to some things or changing some things in your current situation. It can't be the same. Like, the answer is that if there's no time currently, then something has to change to find that pocket of time. It's hard to say in a very vague, unspecific situation, but as a general rule, there has to be some kind of a sacrifice or something that needs to change in order for the person to have that ability to, okay. to – do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, absolutely. So you've had decades of – you've clients, mm-hmm, okay? So what mm-hmm. have you seen or where have you seen them make those changes?
I think getting up earlier is always a good one. But it also means going to bed later, or sorry, earlier. Going to bed earlier. I mean, that's great. I think also evaluating the types of commitments that you're a part of, what you're doing for other people, those types of things. It could also be a matter of outsourcing and, you know, let's say for meals, for example, there's so many great meal planning or meal prep companies just in Ottawa, like local ones that are fantastic. Maybe for healthy eating, it's getting something. Maybe it means hiring a cleaning person to clean your house, right? That's what I mean by something has to change, something has to give. There has to be some kind of sacrifice. And usually the sacrifice is either your time or your money, right? Those are the two kind of commodities, the resources that we have at our disposal. And unfortunately, you can't usually get both. So something is either going to cost you in time or it's going to cost you in money. And I think making that realization and kind of strategizing and figuring out what that looks like in your own current like personal scenario can be helpful.
What are the lines or the triggers that you would want people to use in the gray zone mindset? So let's say someone's going to say, okay, I'd like to try to apply this. Mm-hmm. What's the dialogue they're having with themselves?
In what scenario?
What are they telling themselves? Like, what are they doing to be in that mindset?
Like the sort of self-talk?
Yes.
I think definitely just a sort of general being kind to yourself. And I think it's the realization that small sustainable changes are going to be what gets you to where you want to go. So kind of realizing that it's the small things that matter, as opposed to trying to do the big drastic change, right? So it's telling yourself that those little things like having like doing a meal prep is helpful, drinking more water in the day, like that's a win. So that's part of why I like to, in my journal, have that win, like success celebration, celebration is a large word, but anyway, section, right? Where you're acknowledging the small little things that you're doing or the little mindset changes that you're making. I mean, I think it's so hard when it's like...
No, I know. Like, okay, but you, like gray is the black and the white, mm-hmm. right? I'm assuming you're the gray.
The gray is in between, right?
Is the mm-hmm. in between.
Yeah. I think it's just part of the talk is telling yourself that you don't have to be perfect. I think that's a big component, actually, is that... which is really hard because it's sort of out there in society that we want to be striving to be perfect and that we see, you know, the perfect Insta everything. And I think there's a difference between striving for excellence, which to me is like doing your best job, and striving for perfection. And so I think having that shift that you can't be perfect and you like, which is really hard to accept. I think that's a bit of a challenge, but that it's okay to not be perfect.
Right.
Right. I think that might be a big mental hurdle for a lot of people.
And I think the hurdle is when you have the disappointment of, let's say, eating the cake at the office.
Right.
That it's okay. Let's just be like, okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be okay. And we're just going to go back.
Yeah.
And not wasting the 3 days of
right.
so of recycling yourself back up.
The hard part about saying like specific phrases to yourself is that it's a shift on a continuum as opposed to like a switch, like a light switch where it's on and off. Like this isn't a thing that one day you have an all or nothing mindset and now someone's listened to this podcast and now they have a gray zone mindset. It doesn't work that way because of the conditioning that we've had, right? As a society and our own, I don't know if you've had anyone talk about neuroplasticity.
Oh gosh, yes.
Right? Yeah. So you know all about that.
it's my lineup of guests coming up.
Oh, perfect.
Right? It's changing.
So it's reprogramming your mind, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's a journey, it's a process, and it doesn't take, it would take months for sure for the shift to happen. But yeah, I think it starts with acknowledging that, you know, perfection is not what you're striving for. You want to strive to be consistent, and consistent is not the same as perfection. And kind of taking the view that this is a lifestyle, like what you're trying to do to be healthy is a lifestyle change and not a temporary thing, right? And again, with what we see in the media is a lot of the quick fix type of things, right? 30 day, and there's nothing wrong with challenges per se, but like 30 day challenges, 90 day challenges where people, what I don't like about those things often is that they're very strict, right? So I'm sure you've seen the no sugar challenge. Well, no sugar, like none at all, is very unrealistic from a sustainability point of view. It's not sustainable for the long term. Nobody wants to eat zero sugar forever and ever.
Or they also don't realize where sugar
or that too.
Where sugar but lies.
Not
right?
even.
I think a lot of people get into the no sugar thing thinking no pop, no candy,
yeah.
you know, you know, no yeah. chips and dip, right. right? But I don't think people are aware
right.
of how deep, when you're talking no sugar, how oh, sure. deep it goes into absolutely every single item right. that's out on the counter.
Exactly. So then, but when you look at a lot of those lists, and they come about on social media, and it's like a, like even bread and all that kind of stuff, right? It has sugar. So to do that kind of a challenge for 30 days is okay, it's doable, but would you want to do it forever? And that's a question that I usually ask people, especially from the diet point of view, when they ask, should I eat this? Should I eat that? What about this diet? What about that diet? And my question to them is just, is it sustainable? Would you want to do that from now until forever? And if the answer is no, then why even bother starting it? Just pick up other healthy habits that you want to be doing for the rest of your life.
That has a longer sustainability mm-hmm. than...
Yeah. So it, really the key words for people are consistency and sustainability. Is this something that you can do for the long term? So if we go from to the exercise standpoint, can you be exercising 7 days a week? Should you be? Probably not even, but that's a whole separate thing. But is that sustainable for your lifestyle? If it's not, why would you even try? Like people are setting themselves up for failure so often in this all or nothing mindset because they're trying to be perfect and they think perfect means all the time as well. And then it's not realistic. So like, for example, when I meet a new client and they start training with me, I actually don't, like when I ask them, how many times a week do you want to train, whether it's with me or on your own? I don't even want them, if they've done nothing, I don't even want them to say more than three. Because to go from zero to three is already a really big deal. That's already a big jump. And so I even tell them in like a laughing, joking, but I'm serious kind of way, like, I don't want you to say five or six or seven. That's actually the wrong answer. Three is good. Two could be good. Four max. If you're starting from zero, think about how much of a jump that is. And I think the key thing is for people to ask themselves, you know, how can I be setting myself up for success? Because when you are successful in doing something, you feel good about it and you want to do it more.
Can I ask you if you have, and I have listeners mm-hmm. that are sitting here at zero, mm-hmm. what is the getting from zero to three? What should they be doing? Is it just getting out and walking? Is it, you know, how do you go from that zero, that standstill? Because mm-hmm. like, think of it, like mm-hmm. the hardest part is the start.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
The hardest part to get the momentum going, right?
Yeah.
So where do you say, and what's your recommendations for that zero to three?
This podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing. They are a new breed of marketing agency that acts as your virtual marketing department, designing and implementing cost-effective marketing strategies that will grow your business. I can speak to this personally, as I've been using the Extension Marketing team to help me launch and grow my business. Founder Pat Whalen has been a lifesaver for me, a genuine coach guiding me along the way into uncharted territory. Tell them you're a friend of the show and receive a free one-hour consultation. Check them out at extensionmarketing.com.
I think it depends on where the zero is coming from. If there used to be an exerciser and they're at zero now, then, you know, maybe go back, ease into what you were doing. If you're literally zero for many, many years, yeah, maybe walking or very low impact type of exercise. Nothing too strenuous because you don't want to have an injury because then that's going to set you back and then you're going to feel bad and then it's just going to be even worse. But I mean, I think, you know, there's lots of professionals in the city as well, looking into maybe getting some help. If you need that kind of guidance, motivation, knowledge of what to do, the internet's great, but it's almost like there's too much information on the internet and it's hard to know what the right thing is for you. So talking to a professional can be helpful. Some people, and I think generally actually a lot of this health and wellness stuff is really becoming more self-aware of who you are as a person, what you like, what you don't like. Because I'm, you know, in terms of exercise, I always encourage people to find what they like to do. Like, exercise shouldn't feel like a chore. It shouldn't be something that you feel you have to do because you ate badly. I definitely think that eating and exercise are separate items that aren't interrelated in the sense that you shouldn't feel you have to exercise because you ate bad, quote, bad food. And you shouldn't feel like you can eat bad food because you exercised. Like, to mm-hmm. me, they're totally separate. because a negative relationship between the two is very unhealthy. But and I was going somewhere with
that's
that.
That's a good point, because a lot of people will do that, right?
Right. And what kills me is when you see at like Halloween, especially sometimes Easter, where you have those memes on social media where it's like, you know, one Snickers bar equals 30 push-ups, or, you know, one whatever other chocolate bar or bag of chips or whatever. And that's just perpetuating this negative relationship between food and exercise. And it should be totally separate. Oh, I know where I was going. So you want to be exercising because you love yourself and because you love your body and you want to, you know, be healthy and be able to do everyday activities. And if you have children or grandchildren, you want to be able to keep up with them. And that should be more of a motivation. Figuring out your motivation is key, but also finding things you like.
Just about going to the gym. People need to get out of the mindset. Going to the gym and lifting weights when they're uncomfortable, like the environment. Like, there are so many other things.
Yes, exactly. So that's what I'm very slowly getting to. And my point is that find the thing that works for you. Some people like group classes. Some people don't like group classes. Some people would rather do a sport or things like rock climbing. Like a more activity-based type of way to exercise. I know your mom teaches gymnastics. There's some great adult gymnastics classes all over the city. That could be a fun thing. So maybe dancing, right? There's all sorts of ways that you can move your body that doesn't necessarily have to feel onerous and that you hate it, right? I think it's important to find what you like. And if you don't know what you like, then explore and try different activities and see what gets you going.
I think what people need to realize, and I've noticed this a lot, maybe just because I'm in different environments, but there are passes for people to try. Mm-hmm. I have seen it from so many different places, you know, try a yoga class, try mm-hmm. a spin class, try a, you know, I could go through, you know,
of
like,
course,
the,
yeah.
like, but right now you've got like 9 Round for boxing, you've mm-hmm. got Orange Theory, you've got the spin, like there's a ton of spin places, there's a ton of yoga. Like, try it.
Absolutely.
I think there's nothing in taking advantage of companies that are like, listen, you haven't experienced this, come try a class mm-hmm. and, you know, we'll go from there.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that holds people back is this mentality that exercise has to equal 1 hour at the gym. Like, it absolutely doesn't. 30 minutes at the gym could be more effective than 1 hour poorly spent, mm-hmm. right? Even, you know, 10, 15 minutes. I mean, some of the segments that we've done together on CTV were very short but very effective if you were to do, like, the whole thing of what I showed, right? I think people just get held back, especially going back to the time aspect, on it has to be a certain length of time for it to be effective. You can do 10 minutes on a spin bike doing a, 10-second or 15-second sprint with a 30 to 60-second recovery time. For however 10 minutes, however many cycles that is, and that's going to be a really excellent workout. Or do that sort of sprint concept on the treadmill or on an elliptical or something.
As you said, right, it's going to take time for people to shift their mindset mm-hmm. that it's right. different. It doesn't need to be the hour at the gym. And I do want to say this because we mentioned mm-hmm. all these classes that people can take and mm-hmm. you know going to the gym. But for people who are financially not able to mm-hmm. invest in doing these things, what do you recommend? I know we had done segments you know, on the show, but what can be done within a home, within a park setting, like where they're not having equipment or a gym or something to be able to do things with?
So absolutely. That is part of the whole thing of shifting that mindset away from the gym concept is you can do a lot with body weight. Even a few simple tools like resistance bands, stability balls, those types of things, small little things that you can have, even a few dumbbells, you know, nothing that takes up too much space in your house. You can really get some good exercise from that. I've created like a little bit of a template that I thought I could share with everybody, which is basically just one upper body exercise, one lower body exercise, a core exercise, and then cardio type of thing. So, for example, you could do push-ups, you could do squats, you could do plank, and then you could finish up with like lateral hops. So hopping from side to side, one leg to the other. And you could do, you know, 10 to 15 reps of each for 3 to 4 rounds. It's going to take you, you know, between 12 and 20 minutes, let's say, depending on how much break time you want to have. And there we've done a whole full body workout with no equipment. Yeah.
I love this. I don't know if you've seen my Instagram, but like I do work as a basement a lot, you know, with just time and like the kids and activities. And so sometimes I'm, you know, I'm doing that, but I'm exactly that. I do a little cardio, like, and I'm 50 seconds on, 10 seconds off.
Okay.
And I go cardio, arm, leg, ab.
Yeah.
And then I just repeat that for 50, like, well, I go for like a 50 minutes, but like, but I, if I'm rushed, I do for 20 to 30 and I just increase, but that's it, right? It's a leg, an arm, a core, and a little cardio. So what you're saying is that's the template.
That's the template and, that I use and honestly, as like the, a default.
And no equipment is no necessary equipment. In any of that. So, and I think people can get inspired if they just, they can Google some of those things, right?
Oh,
no
sure.
gym required, no something. They'll get an abundance of possibility.
Yep. And even on my website, like I have my media page that has all the segments of all the stuff that I've done. So there's like 20 plus things on there.
Like, I think I remember stuff. We did like workouts with like chairs and like brooms or like I think we did cans.
Did you do the book one with me?
I think I did the book
lover one. Yeah.
Yes. And it was like we had the – I totally remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I've done – I did one with Henry with a pillow. Yeah, so there's a lot. And yeah, you can be creative. You know, in the summertime when you have like a watermelon, you can totally use that as like a shoulder press or even a row or that sort of thing. So, or like a big, you know, those big things of oil or vinegar, you know, your big tubs of that kind of stuff. You can use that as weights. It really, like, I think for most people though, I would say, part of the issue is the scheduling side of things. So the biggest thing that I can recommend to people is to actually put this time that they're going to devote to exercise, since we're talking about exercise right now, into their calendar. Because what happens is even though we have the best of intentions, this sort of just, I'll do it when I have the time concept is not, it doesn't work.
You have to make it. It has to go into like a book, like an appointment.
To be like in the appointment.
Right.
Yes.
It's like I have a doctor's appointment. Yep. I have this appointment. Mm-hmm. I have these people. Like it needs to be written in.
Yep.
Like
I've had some clients literally put it in their calendar and call it, you know, a like wellness appointment or that sort of thing. One of my clients used to, he told me that he viewed it as, you know, going to catch a plane. Like he would never be late to catch his flight. So why is he not committing to doing his workouts? And so he traveled a lot. So this concept worked for him. But
it's the wealth investment.
Right? Exactly. Yes. However you want to view it, whether it's like your self-love, self-care appointment, whether you view it as like a more doctor-y type of appointment, getting it in the calendar is the first step. And then the next step is making it non-negotiable in the sense that that appointment doesn't move except for an extreme scenario where there's like a real emergency or you really, really need to change it. But other than that, it stays fixed.
What happens if based on your gray zone mentality, that appointment needs to get canceled?
Then you don't worry about it and you just do it whenever it was the next day or you if you weren't planning on doing one the next day and you can fit it in, then you do it. And if not, you don't worry about it because – part of the gray zone mindset is that we're looking big picture. We're looking months and years as opposed to days. Because it's those consistent, sustainable habits that are going to pay off in the months and years ahead as opposed to that immediate like gratification or satisfaction.
You talk about the exercise. I want to hit on the nutrition part too. So food prep, how do you, in terms of your sustainability and consistency, where are your tips and tricks?
So first of all, I would say for food prep, if you've never done food prep before, don't try and do everything because, again, it's going all in and it's too much and can be too overwhelming. And if it takes you 6 hours, you're going to feel really discouraged and not going to want to do it because that's a really long time. So I would recommend starting small, picking maybe one or two meals to focus on. So looking at, you know, which one is, again, the big bang for your buck concept. Like what's the most important thing for me to focus on right now? How are my breakfasts? How are my lunches? How are my dinners? Which one should I be prioritizing? And then focus on that one. So maybe it's, do you know what I mean? Like in Absolutely. Terms of just picking one thing and doing it.
Like,
so I'll just say that from the outset and right. then I'll give some other tips.
Like, cause I've seen, I think I've seen some of like, you've mm-hmm. done meals where I've been like, oh my God, like you've, I think you've had like.
Oh, I do like the whole week's worth.
Right.
Yes.
I look at my kitchen prep as yeah. I wash my vegetables, cut them, put them in Ziplocs so that it's easy snacks
right.
when I'm reaching, when the kids or someone's reaching in and mm-hmm. everything's been cut and ready to serve. Exactly. That for me is my kitchen prep.
Sure.
You know, I've seen some other things where it's like full on meals, like in containers, and all yeah. you're doing is taking it out of, you know.
Yeah.
So, there's different levels, and there's really different levels to yes, doing that prep work.
Absolutely. Which is why I think it has to be, again, either the starting small concept. So figuring out, like, maybe, you know, 1 week we start with just breakfasts and you just do your prep for the breakfasts. And your snacks, maybe. And that's it. You don't worry about lunch. Don't worry about dinner. And then build from there. In terms of, like, strategies for meal prepping, I would say, first of all, like, having all your items. So having a proper grocery shop. So you have all the items that you're going to be eating. And then bulk doing everything. So kind of really taking a couple hours and doing everything at the same time. So whether that means taking that time to be chopping your vegetables, it's also about being strategic about if you're doing the cooking part, how you're doing the cooking, right? So getting something in the oven is going to be like your first priority because it's probably going to take longer, right? So don't start cooking something on the stove first that's going to take a shorter amount of time before you get something in the oven. So sometimes it's just thinking through timing, right, of how things are going to work. So, for example, if I'm going to be roasting my broccoli and cauliflower, I'm going to cut those up first, get those in the oven while that's cooking. Now I'm like chopping up or taking those little bitties off of the green beans so that I can steam them, but they're only going to take 10 minutes. So by the time the green beans are done, the other stuff in the oven is done.
Are you cooking all that stuff and then putting it into
– Yes. Pyrex. So, yeah.
And how do you do it so that it stays fresh so that you want to eat it a couple days later?
It just stays fresh. Yeah. So we cook everything on Sunday we're only two. It's only me and my husband. So with people with more a bigger family, mm-hmm. you obviously would probably have to do cooking a few more times. But again, you figure out what works for you. Some people really like to do I don't do this personally, but I've seen people where they do like crockpot meals. And so you would have, let's say, you could go really high, but like, let's say 6 to 12 bags that you're going to prep. So you've done a huge grocery shop. You've figured out, what kind of, if it's meats, you know, chicken, beef, whatever else. And then literally you put everything into each of the bags and then you like Ziploc them up and they into the freezer they go. And then, you know, once or twice a week, you're taking out one of those packages and cooking it. And so you've made 12 meals in the same amount of time that you could have made one meal, right? So mm-hmm. you're really what it is maximizing your time and just becoming more efficient with how you're doing it and the planning. One of the things I've recently done actually is that it happened because of a conversation with a client, but I actually cut my vegetables usually on the Saturday and then on the Sunday is when I cook them. Just because of timing and how, you know, mm-hmm. my life situation has worked out, it just kind of works well that way. So I think sometimes kind of it sounds cliche, but thinking outside of the box in terms of what is okay or not okay, like it's totally fine to like maybe you take three different chunks of time to do meal prep and that's totally okay. It doesn't all have to be all at the same time. Whatever is going to work for you, right? So
I think hopefully what people might realize is that knowing that there's something packaged and ready to go in the freezer because mm-hmm. Coming from people who have busy lives and kids yeah. that are on the go, it's so yeah. easy to just be like, oh, you know what? We'll just go pick something up.
Right.
And then you're picking something up and then you're getting back into the all or nothing. Oh, gosh, mm-hmm. we just did takeout. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have done that. You feel guilty and right. you just get in the whole spiral again.
Exactly. So if you think about it, why do we eat like – the non-healthy food because it's super convenient. So what we need to do is make the healthy food convenient, which is why you chop your veggies, Because I bet you if you didn't chop those veggies, they would just sit there in the fridge.
No, they go bad. If I don't do it, we don't.
I know.
But if I cut them mm-hmm. and they're in a nice, like, clear Ziploc mm-hmm. and people can see that they're yep. done and cleaned and exactly. cut, then we eat them.
Right.
And I've done, you know, there's been weeks where, you know, I didn't get the prep done. Mm-hmm. And I can tell how much more of the groceries go to waste mm-hmm. than on the weeks oh, yeah. that I do it. Yep. And so I often just have to say, get it done. And then mm-hmm. the ones like I'll do like mangoes and stuff where I'll like peel and cut and have those ready to go. Mm-hmm. And if I haven't done it when I come back on Sunday, mm-hmm. the next thing I know, 4 days later, they're too soft, they've gone to waste. Wow. And I didn't do it. Like, right. so
I know
it's for me, there's also the financially you're sure. wasting a lot less yes. because you've used what you've purchased.
Yes. And I think the faster you can realize that that's just how it's going to be. And I think, again, that's the sort of living in your reality concept. Like, we all wish that we didn't do that. We all wish that, like, I always use a carrot example. I'm sure you've had carrots go bad on you too, where, like, if I don't peel and cut the carrots, they won't get eaten. And it's so silly. How hard is it to take out an unpeeled carrot and peel it and then eat it? It's not hard at all, but I don't do it. So, but I have realized that is a fact. It's not going to change. And so now I know I just have to do it. I have to peel the carrots and cut them so I will eat them.
Right. But if you do them all at once.
Right.
Well, this is better off because you're not doing it the once.
So, but because the once doesn't happen.
Right.
And so this is my point, is that people have to realize and be accept that how they want to be, if over and over and over again you're getting the same result, it's likely not going to change for certain things. Right. And so you just have to accept that that is a reality. And change up how you do it, right? And this kind of, again, this stuff comes back to the time or money concept, where, especially for food, it is going to take time. But for me, I view it as an investment. So you said like a wellness investment or whatever before. I view meal prep as an investment in my future because I am spending the time on the weekend, which means I am not spending the time Monday to Friday. I can come home after a busy day and there's food already made for me and I just put it in my toaster oven and I heat it up and I don't have to spend any time cooking. And that is so valuable to me that it is worth it to spend the couple hours on the weekend.
It's the sustained consistency of what it is that you're looking for.
But I will say, for people who are feeling overwhelmed by this conversation right? about how much food prep I might do, again, start small. And it could be the Leanne way of just doing the veggies and the veggies and fruit.
Oh, and on a good week, it's hard-boil the eggs.
Okay.
We'll do some hard-boiled exactly. eggs for snacks.
Right. So you know. It could be just yep. that alone could be enough. Just having some healthy snacks around could be totally fine. Or if you feel like it could be helpful to have a little bit more food prepped, do it. But in a slow step kind of way. Start with lunches. Start with just dinner. Start with breakfast or whatever it is.
So as you were saying that there were probably people that were trying not to get overwhelmed by this discussion, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of it, and I think what's going to come down to, and I think it's also because I've been in a massive shift of understanding mindset and mindfulness of how much is really our lives are affected by what we're saying to mm-hmm. ourselves. It's past behavior, it's looking ahead, it's thinking about things that aren't actually going to happen, but we've trained our mind, right? Mm-hmm. And so the meditation has been a massive thing for me, mm-hmm. and I continue to talk about it. But for you, your life really started to change with gratitude.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's going to be people here going, now they're going, okay, now what is she throwing at me? But yeah. I don't want to say it's kind of become like the new buzzword, but I feel like in my circles, okay. it's the word that's being thrown cool. around
good.
A lot. And I love it, yeah. you know. And so in certain circles, it's something like, oh, my gosh, I've been doing this for years. And another, I think people are just being introduced to mm-hmm. kind of what that offers.
Yeah. So I think for me, the biggest change that I saw was definitely doing the journaling, like I talked about at the beginning, which really involves gratitude. And for me, it has become like almost like a default way of thinking. Not always. Of course, I have my moments where, you know, I'm getting kind of upset. Like actually on my way to the Disrupt HR conference, I was taking an Uber there and it was, I think, on Maryvale. It was like a parking lot. Like, it was crazy traffic. I'm sure many people can relate. And I was starting to get really annoyed. And then I actually had to catch myself and tell myself that, no, I'm grateful that I had this opportunity. I didn't want to show up in a negative space and have that affect my presentation. So I really had to kind of catch myself on that. And I don't think I would have done that had I not been in the practice of gratitude.
But you were
gratitude,
aware. You right? were aware mm-hmm. of the fact that you were shifting and mm-hmm. that you could feel this irritation.
Right.
Right. So yeah. the first thing was to just be aware of the fact that you could feel yourself.
Self-awareness is key.
Shifting.
Yes. Yeah.
So let's go through. Can we take it?
Yeah.
So, because I know your clients. You said you've started giving this mm-hmm. out to your clients. What's their reaction been to it?
They're really liking it. Yeah.
Were they kind of thinking it was woo when you started with it? They're like, hey, Lydia, I'm coming to you so that you can work me out really hard and get me in great shape. And I want to look good on the beach.
Yeah.
But what happens when you're like, okay, I know you want to look really good on the beach, but I need you to start doing this?
I think for the most people were fine with it. I think for most people it was more like feeling like they had the time in the morning or feeling like it was a new kind of practice for them. And they weren't sure about it. But yeah, when people have been really, really loving it and really getting some great benefits.
Okay. So
from
what
it.
Was it for you when you started? What did you do? When you started the gratitude
when
practice, when you
practice
started the shift, yeah.
Was literally just writing out things I was grateful for.
Basic things?
Yes. So I write that I'm thankful for my husband and my dog. And then I always write that I'm thankful for my clients and it really, for me, I write free form and I don't set a certain amount of, like, I'm not trying to aim for like 10 or 20 or 15 or 3 or whatever. It's literally whatever wants to come out that day. A lot of times it's based on the day before or what's coming up ahead, you know. So for example, on a day when I'm giving a presentation for a corporate client, you know, I'll often write down that I'm thankful for that opportunity to impact more people.
What are corporate clients usually looking from you?
So I do workshops for them a lot of times, and I'm starting to get into doing actual like wellness programs. I have a 4-week mindfulness challenge that I'm giving out to some clients.
So it's yeah, this. Really it's just this doing whole, that for their employees.
Yeah,
what we're talking about
it's
right
similar
now.
Similar stuff yeah. for their clients. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm grateful for, and then the next line is I am.
Right. So this is the section for you to write down affirmations and intentions. And so for me, this was really powerful to help, especially with the reprogramming of your mind. So I would say that gratitude definitely helps get you in a more positive mindset. And then the affirmations and intentions are really, if you want to view it kind of scientifically, it's reprogramming your brain. So writing down things that you believe to be true about yourself. Or if you don't yet to believe them to be true, then you write it in a certain way. Like, I am the type of person who is confident. I'm the type of person who prioritizes myself and my health.
I would think this would be very difficult for people because I have people who are in a negative space would be like, I am, oh my God, I'm so lazy.
Right.
I'm stupid. I'm irresponsible. I'm, you know, I would think would be very easy for people to fill out a negative outlook.
It
How
could be,
hard
yeah.
is it for
yeah.
them to actually have to force themselves to be in a...
Oh, sure.
Even if they're not believing it, that's what has to come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really hard. Absolutely. Even writing things like, like positive attributes. I am strong. I am beautiful. I am loved. You know, those types of things can be very hard for people. Absolutely. But that's why it's like a practice. And if you want to grow and if you want to, you know, have that self-development, you know, it's part of the process. You might not be more generic, let's say, or a little less strong or confident in what you're writing. But that's where phrases like, I am in the process of can help, or I am the type of person who... So you could say, you know, if somebody wants to.
I am the type of person who can be successful.
Right.
I am the type of person who can lose weight. Mm-hmm. I am the type of person who can get the new job. It's doing it that way. And it's interesting, I would think, for people to look back on how they started writing in the journal and what it looks like 6 months later as to how their practice is. Yeah. You go from I am, then you go to one win from yesterday is.
Yes. And for me, that part's important because if we're always looking to the future, it can feel like we've never arrived. And it feels like there's always something more that we're striving for, which is a good thing. I believe in goal setting and always trying to improve yourself. But at the same time, if we don't pause and reflect back on how we've been successful, it can feel like we're never there. And so this is an opportunity to really acknowledge the small things. Like, I want this type of stuff to be just the little itty bitty things, whether it's you had a shift in mindset where you, back to the piece of cake comment, where you had that cake and you felt okay about it. That's a huge win as far as I'm concerned. I talked to a client today. She was telling me how, based on some stuff that she's been working on and conversations we've had, she's now finding it easier to say no to people. To me, that's a win.
Yeah. One win from yesterday. I said no to having to organize the office.
Right.
Potluck.
Sure. Or maybe it's I drank water. It could be more of a doing related thing, right? Where, you know, you drank all the water you drank that day, or you hit all your targets for exercise, that sort of thing. So it can be really the gamut of anything. It could be work related. It could be personal. It could be anything.
It could be anything. Mm-hmm. And then the final one that you have. So we have I'm grateful for. Then you have I am, then you have one win from yesterday is, and then the final one is I will love and care for myself today by.
Right. So this one is to come up with something, and it could be something you already have planned. It doesn't have to be a new something, but a way for people to remember to take care of themselves. A lot of my clients are women who put everyone else ahead of themselves. And so this one kind of came out of, and even for myself too, like I said at the beginning with the burnout, is that I wasn't taking time to care for me. And so this was a way to remind myself and to think about, what am I going to do today that is going to be taking care of myself? And it could be, I'm going to do a meditation. It could be, I'm going to paint my toenails, or I'm going to say no to something. Or I'm going to be assertive in this situation at work where, you know, I feel like somebody's always talking over me and I'm going to stand up for myself today. It really could be a whole spectrum of things, but it's really about reminding people that they should be doing something to take care of them.
I will love and care for myself today. Bye. Mm-hmm. All right. Those are the four. This is part of the Gratitude and Success Journal.
I have a more fixed mindset. So being open to possibilities and open to what can be possible for you. And then just starting small and not trying to do everything all at once, not trying to change everything all at once. Take a longer term approach and really focus on what are some of the few small things and changes that you can make right now that could have a big impact.
That pretty much sums it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where can people head to find more information? And this I know your clients are getting this, but this is a really interesting concept. So, but where can people go find information about you, the website?
So my website is fithealthy365.com. And I'm also on Facebook at fithealthy365 and on Instagram, same handle, fithealthy365. Through my website, people can email me. They can or through social media, send me a DM. If they do want the journal, I've been encouraged by my mother-in-law and her sister to sell them because my mother-in-law is so sweet. She bought some from me to give to her friend and her sister and stuff. So it was really sweet. So I will sell them if people are interested.
That's awesome. You're going to have to put, I am grateful for my mother-in-law's business sense. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm online. I'm very available and I'm happy to talk to people and give advice and suggestions for their own situations.
Well, I like the first one. And I think for anyone who's in the all or nothing, black or white, the gray zone might be exactly the place that you need to be. to be able to just feel better about the process that you're in. So I really appreciate that. Good luck with everything. Thanks. It's so nice to have time and not our four minutes.
I know.
Usually Lydia, we were talking about this, would see me like sprinting off the set, going to do like a quick costume change, get in. We had our 4 minutes together and then I'd be running back to change back into my clothes. So it was nice to be able to sit down and chat.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. That is another edition as we're launching the 2020 season with For Living Your Life with Leanne Lang. I want to say thank you so much. It was interesting as I was looking at, you know, people listening over the holidays. I so know my audience, like to all the moms out there who were so busy over the last 2 weeks, kind of doing everything for families. It was interesting once everyone came back, you know, all of the downloads were coming in of people going, oh my God, I got to catch up on the podcast. So thank you to everyone for liking and sharing and subscribing and letting people know that the podcast is out there. The more word of mouth that's out there about the podcast, the better. And we're getting in some great guests. I'm really excited about the lineup that we have coming up over the next couple of weeks. So have a great day, everyone. And thanks again for listening to Living Your Life with Leanne Lang.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. And we are the hosts of Writing Class Radio, a podcast, but we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com. And listen to our podcasts wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.